Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Keeping It Real with the Rileys. This is your hostess, Rhonda Riley. Oh, we just want to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for this, just for being a part of our audience. We thank God for you. We thank God. Oh, He is so good, and He is good all the time, all the time, all the time. But there is none like Him, you know. But let us go into His throne of grace and just thank Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. For this, Lord, it's the day that You have made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we honor You. Lord, I thank You for the ones that's listening in, Lord. I ask that You bless them, Father. Bless them, Lord. Touch them, Father. Give them ears to hear, Lord God. And, Lord God, we just thank You for using us, Lord God. And You know that we surrender to Your will, Lord. Not our will, but Your will. Oh, Lord, thank You for having us behind Your cross. And let nothing come out of our mouths that's not sanctioned by You, Lord God. And we're careful to give You the praise, honor, and glory that's due You in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, hello, hello. Of course, today, again, you know, we're in the midst of different things, so no telling what you're going to hear in the background. But we've had such a wonderful, awesome time in the Lord. I went to revival last night with a Apostle Spencer, and just listen to his words, and it was just such a blessing. I am one that when I'm out and about, and when I go to hear the man and woman of God, I like to take notes. I like to go back, even though I'm reading along with them. I still like to go back and look at it and ask the Lord for more meaning. Because, you know, it's not all the time just one meaning. Sometimes if we look and research, we can find so much more to what God is saying. You know, He said, "He who has an ear, let him hear what thus says the Lord." And the word is inspired by God. And with that, because He inspired the word, He gave His scribes what he wanted the people to know. And with that, you know, it's if He gave the scribes what He wanted us to know, and we reading it, then why not go to Him and ask Him to give us an understanding, to illuminate our minds, that we may have a better understanding. Because, you know, sometimes you can read the same scripture. You can read it 20 times and get a different meaning every time. And sometimes you can read the same scripture, and then all of a sudden you read it one time, you'll be like, whoa! Because it's like it just leap off the page at you. But I want you to turn with me to Mark 11, verse 23. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. And the Bible says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you got to have faith, even faith of a mustard seed, to know that God got you and God is going to do what he said he's going to do. But listen to this. I'm going to back up to verse 22. It says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he shall say, that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." And you just keep on down to verse 24, it says, "Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." So you got to believe right when you pray. Don't pray believing wrong things. You know how, you know how you pray, "Lord, I need you to do this. Lord, I need you to make a way for my house. I'm gonna lose my house." And you didn't ask God to make a way for your house. Then you get up from your prayer and you say, "I don't know how I'm gonna make it. I don't know. I'm about to lose my house." Well, didn't you just give it to Jesus? Didn't Jesus say his word? Believe. Whatsoever you desire, you ask. You give it. So you just called Jesus a lie. You just told Jesus you don't trust him. And you might be saying, wait, that's not what I said. But actually, it is what you said indirectly. Because, see, when you took it to Jesus and gave it to Jesus and said, "Lord, I need you to do this," you put it in Jesus' hand. But when you got up and you tried to take it back up, or you took it back up to try to do it your way, then you said, "I don't trust you, Jesus, to do it. I don't believe you can do it for me. I don't believe you. I don't think you can do it. I got to do this myself." That's what you told him indirectly. It's the same thing. If you told your husband and your wife, "I'm going there to cook at 5 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, they were in the kitchen and cooked. You know, they're in the kitchen cooking. You head into the kitchen. Well, they're in the kitchen cooking at 4:45. You head to the kitchen at 5 o'clock. And you get to the kitchen, they're cooking. You're looking at them like, "Why are you in here cooking? Didn't I tell you I was going to cook at 5 o'clock? You know, didn't I give you my word?" See, they told you that your word wasn't valid to them, that your word didn't mean much. They didn't trust you at your word to come cook at 5 o'clock, so they went to cook at 4:45, just in case, and you didn't make it at 5 o'clock. That's how we treat Jesus. You try to have you just in case and backup plan. See, Jesus don't need no just in case and backup plan. Because while we trying to figure it out. With a backup plan, Jesus already worked it out. What you say, Riley? Come on, weigh in here.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Well, if you believe, if you believe that if you take your car to the shop, somebody gonna, the mechanic gonna fix it and fix it right, you have confirmation in him. Just because he said he was gonna fix it. Well, God got a whole book of promises in writing.
Guarantee.
All you got to do is walk with it. I have faith in what in that book. That's it.
That's it.
That's all. That's all.
Come on now.
That's all he asks.
Come on now.
From us.
That's it.
Just to have faith. Read his word and then have faith in his word. Man will lie to you.
You know he will.
And laugh about it. He told you to lie. And laugh about it. You believed it.
Yes, indeed.
That's man for you. That's your brother for you. But your daddy, what he say? He'll never leave you or forsake you.
Or forsake you.
That's his word. Now go back on his word.
You never go back on his word.
So why is it so hard for us to believe in his word? Why? Because we can't see him?
You can't see
him. Go by a house and they write out a contract agreement and give it to you. And when something goes wrong, that's what you have to fall back on, what they wrote up in that contract agreement. Especially the insurance company.
Hey.
You know? And you'll take that piece of paper and go to every court that is to try to make them stand by what they have in writing.
But
because
Jesus,
you trusted
is,
them.
But Jesus is our insurance policy. Say that.
Jesus is your everything.
You know?
Whatever you need him to be.
He is your insurance policy.
That's right.
For everything. He is the ultimate umbrella. Oh. You know, you know when you go to and buy and got a business, you know, they ask you about the umbrella policy that covers everything.
Yeah.
Jesus is the umbrella policy.
Amen.
That covers everything.
Amen.
Everything.
And you don't have to argue with him about it.
You know.
You don't have to take him to court.
You know.
You know. All you got to do is believe in him.
He's sitting there. And when something go wrong, and we done got out of line with his word. That umbrella policy, Jesus is the mediator. And he goes to the Father to mediate on your behalf. He intercedes on your behalf.
Amen.
Because it's the umbrella policy.
Amen.
That God give us. Go ahead, Riley.
Glory, glory, glory.
I just had to throw that in there, Riley, because I thought about that umbrella. Because we used to have an umbrella policy when we had the daycare.
Yes.
We had that umbrella policy,
you know,
that covered everything.
You know.
Go ahead.
But that's a book that you have that's sitting over there on that coffee table in the corner with dust on it.
Break it out.
You know. You need to bring them on out front.
Hallelujah.
So when people walk in your house, they can see it. And then not only they can see it, the book, you want, like the pastor said, put your face in that book.
Hey.
So when they walk in the house or you walk out the house, they can see it on you.
Hey, come
you know,
on now.
That's where it's at right there.
Yes.
That should be your makeup.
Now.
Before you go out the house, that should be your makeup. You know, all that old red stuff and rouge and all that there.
Your cologne.
Hey,
your
you know. Yeah, they can smell you before you get there and all that there. Let them look at your face and see Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Yes. Glory to his name. No, ain't no other name no better than that.
Well, you know.
So let's get that book out.
You
yeah, know, I know some of you running over there now getting it, because I hit you, because it's over in that corner. You know, I got you. You know, so bring it on out.
Some of them got in the china cabinet, baby.
Hey, yeah, they'll stand it up in there and have it open where people can see it when they come in. But, you know, you ain't clean the glass, so they can't see it no way. So let's bring it on out of there. Put it where it's supposed to be.
Well, you know, baby, the thing is this. This is what they said. Oh, Riley, you know, we got the Bible on our phone. Why are you using it?
You too busy talking to Julie across the street to lose the phone.
You know, or
you know,
Facebook.
I doubt if you can even bring the Bible up on it. You ain't used it so long.
Behave, Riley, behave.
Better put your face in that book up in your face, you know, and go turn on the TV, you know, and hear the word, you know, that's what I do. I go in there sometime and I could be in there for 8, 9, 10 hours.
Yeah, y'all.
Just listen to talk about God, talk about Jesus.
Yeah, y'all.
You know.
He's serious. He's serious. He turned on Impact Network, the Now Network, or Kenneth Hagin. And hey, you might not be able to pull him away from the TV unless he go eat or go to the restroom. And you know what he gonna do then? He going get his plate and he coming back to finish watching it.
Yeah, I'm gonna put it on pause.
Oh yeah, he gonna put it on pause.
No. Because I thank him for letting me be able to be here to be able to put it on pause. You know. And I could be here and still not able to put it on pause. But he's so good to me. You know, he's so good to me.
You know, yeah.
He's so good to me till my toes stand up.
I'm going to tell you, I am one for, I love comedy. And, you know, you say Jesus got jokes, and my husband said, y'all, you do, look at us. You know, but.
Oh, you got to do. Look at this.
I'm going to read y'all this joke, because even children know where Jesus is supposed to be at. It says, 4-year-old Brianna was at the pediatrician for a checkup. When the doctor looked in her ears, he asked, do you think I'll find Big Bird in here? Brianna only giggled. Next, the doctor took a tongue depressor and looked down her throat. This time he asked, do you think I'll find a Cookie Monster down there? Brianna giggled again. Then the doctor put a spectacle to her chest. As he listened to her heartbeat, he asked,
Do you think I would hit Bernie in this? Oh, no, Brianna replied. Jesus is in my heart. Bernie's on my underpants. But she knew where Jesus was supposed to be at.
Amen. 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 Amen.
I just thought that was cute and befitting of what we're talking about, because Jesus is supposed to be in your heart.
Amen.
And
the mouth of the babe.
Right out the mouth of the babe.
Amen. No, glory to his name.
It just befits the situation when we talk about Jesus.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, we can find Jesus in every lesson. Every lesson. Right along to the doctor asking you, is characters in different parts of your body. The child, no, uh-uh. No, nah, Bernie can't be in there. Can't nobody be in there but Jesus.
Man. But you know,
when he's in your heart,
you know, men.
Uh-oh.
You know, you talk about your job. I did it.
Oh, you know what? Here you go.
I put my family up to the side because I had to go to work.
Couldn't
go to church because I had to go to work. You know? But that job, who gave you that job?
God.
Who gave you that job? That good old job that you have and you just can't mess up. God gave you that job. But you won't even go to his house to really thank him.
Amen.
You know, you won't go to his house to even thank him. For that car you drive that you love so much, you park it on three parking spots so won't nobody get close to it.
You know it.
God gave you that. And God will take it away from you. Because you put in that car before God. See, that's your idol now, that car.
Come on now.
See, you better watch yourself. Because God will snatch it, you know. So, you can have anything you want. You can give your family anything that they want. All you got to do is have faith in him and speak it out of your mouth. And know when you speak it that you're going to have it.
Amen.
But you know what? Tell you something, brother. Tell you something. That's a wagon right there I'm going to jump on. I'm jumping on that one and standing tall. Telling everybody to be quiet so I can hear.
You know,
because that's all the way, that's all I have to do to survive, provide for my family.
Be the priest of the family.
That's all. It's to believe in the Creator.
But you know what? This is what we do. Listen to this. It says, God tells me, Churchman Bill King, creator of the popular Family Circus comic strip Tales of a Time, when he was penciling in one of his cartoons, and his son Jeffy asked, Daddy, how do you know what to draw? King answered, God tells me. Then Jeffy innocently responded, then why do you keep erasing parts of it? Is that not what we do? That is what we do. God gives us good things,
But we're trying to do it ourselves, and so we neglect it. We erase that part off. We don't want to do that.
We do it our way.
We do it our way. We get rid of that part, and we go over here. And then we cry out, God, Lord, Jesus, help.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Well, I gave it to you, but you erased it. I gave you the vision, and I made it plain. You erased it. Stop erasing what God has given you.
Flesh.
Flesh has got to die. Come on, Riley, go ahead. I'm going to start reading this book. Cause see, I'm reading the world's greatest collection of church jokes. But I find such humor in these lessons. But these lessons are so awesome when you really think about the true meaning of what's being said. And, you know, I can find the humor in it because I can look back and see myself all throughout the book. Like, ooh, Lord, thank you for deliverance, because erasing the plan, that was me. Didn't know how Jesus was supposed to be seated in my heart, that was me. You know, so it's so much of here in here is me, was me, that is. Lord, I find what I said, it's not me, it was me. But God made me a new creature. And I am no longer conformed to this world, but I am transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm a new creature in Christ. All those old things passed away. All things is new to me. I have on the image of Christ. Who do you have on? Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah. You got it. You know, you're gonna stop going and hanging out with them friends that you were hanging out with. You know, a lot of that stuff, most of all of it, you just ain't gonna want to do no more. You just, it's not going to want to do it any. More. You know? I don't know what's going to a club eating. It's been so long. Thank God. But I know what it is to go to church 2 and 3 times a week.
2 or 3, sometimes 7 days.
No. You know, when I was out there on that dance floor and going on, I don't with praising God. No problem at all. Can't wait till I get there. Start before I get there. I know we're finna have a Holy Ghost time in the Lord. What you got up, sister?
Woo!
That ain't the book that Pastor was talking about putting in your face.
Well, but you know, I find such wonderful news and just. Such wonderful things and humor. I love Christian humor. I do. I love Christian. Many times people think as Christians we cannot have fun. They think as Christians we're supposed to be a dull people.
No. Jesus had fun. Jesus attended weddings. You know. I was trying to sleep last night. And I like to sleep with the TV on, so I put on, I don't know what made me put on Jesse Duplantis. No, I know better, because I cannot go to sleep with him on, because I'm going to be laughing. And he was talking about one day in the life of Jesus. What did Jesus do for us? He was out meeting. You know, just everything that Jesus had to do for us in a day. And I was dozing off. Then he was talking about Jesus healing people. And then he said, y'all know what? Y'all know Jesus can't go to no funeral. Because Jesus will mess up a funeral. Jesus go to the funeral, and then the people get up and start the dead, get up and start walking. And I just started laughing. I know my husband, he was like, will she shut up over there? I was like, I got to go to sleep, Lord. I need to go to sleep. But y'all know what? But with that being said, there's a lot of dead situations in your life that Jesus want to revive. He is the reviver. Jesus wants to give you life eternal. He stands at the door and knocks. He's not going to force himself in. You got to let him in. You got to open the door and let him in. You know, God sent Jesus down into this earth because men need to be redeemed. Jesus was willing to come down and die. A man without sin, he left his throne in heaven, took off his heavenly crown to put on a crown of thorns to be put in another man's tomb to be beat, scourged, to have flesh ripped apart. You know, that's love. He did all that so that he could take on our sin. Every stripe that he took had a sin attached to it. Every lash that he took meant something. Every lash was a redemption for us. He shed his blood in his flesh that we might live. And now God don't see us as the jacked up mess that we are. He sees us in the eyes of Jesus. When he look at us, he don't look at us all messed up. He looked at us what he has destined us to be. You know, and I'm going to tell you, that could be hard. You know how you have family, loved ones, and they're acting crazy on you? and you tell yourself that this is a blessed child of God. This child will be a doctor. And you trying to see them as a doctor that you know that God will put in your heart they will be. But you can't see it. So all you can keep doing is confessing it. But see, Jesus, because he came down for us, because he redeemed us, because he purchased us with his blood, God sees the person at the end result, not the beginning. He sees the way he called you to be. That's part of what Jesus did for us. What a mighty God he serves. I wouldn't turn away the opportunity to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Monica, Jesus is calling you. You know what he told you to do, and you know why he told you to do it. Get back in the Word. Get back in line with what God told you. Don't let this opportunity pass you by to get it right with God. And if you don't know him for yourself, then pray this prayer with us. Father, I come before your throne of mercy, repenting, asking for forgiveness for my sins I committed that I knew about, which is, dear Lord, sins I committed that I didn't know about. Those sins that I knew about is commission. Those sins that I didn't know about is omission. Lord, thank you for forgiving me. Lord, I accept Jesus right now in my heart. I believe in my heart that you sent him down here to redeem me, to redeem mankind. I confess with my mouth that he is the Redeemer. He is our Savior. I confess with my mouth that you and you alone are God. Oh, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for coming into my heart. I thank you for such an awesome and large family. Find you a church home if you don't have a church home, but be led by the Spirit of God. If you have a church home, then let your pastor know that you've made a new community. Just know that you can't be God's gift. Trust in him. Read your Bible. study Hebrews. Start with 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Research faith and learn to walk in faith. Let Jesus be first in your life, then watch what God will do for you. If you're not a tither and you're in church, tithe to your church. Give God his 10%. That's all he asks for is 10%. We thank you for tuning in. And until tomorrow, we love you. Stay blessed.